God be the glory. Thank God for those wonderful songs rendered by the praise team. The Lord's name be praised. When praises go up, blessings come down. I believe one of the blessings will be the word of God this morning. So, be ready to receive the word. The Lord is good. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this wonderful privilege and opportunity, Lord, to hear your word this morning, to feast at your word, to feast at your table. We ask, O Lord, speak through me, O God, unto the edification of your saints this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask that your counsel alone be revealed in the message. Not my own words, but your words. Use me, speak through me as an oracle in the name of Jesus. And confirm your word, O God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's open to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I read Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my absence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. The title of the message is taken from that very verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. I know we have different versions of the Bible, but we stick on to King James. In some other version, you might find some other expression, but because we are more used to King James, Lord led me to expatiate on this very verse and the relevance to us today. Apostle Paul had been admonishing the Philippians, in fact, commending them for their service to God and to the ministry. And also, he talked about the humility of Jesus and the exaltation of Jesus, how that Christ, even though he was God, he humbled himself and came like a man. He went further and died on the cross for us. People who were crucified in those days were about the worst sinners you can think of. But Jesus, on account of you and me, he went to the cross and suffered and died for us. But that's not the end. The good news is that Father highly exalted his name and has given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, or pass in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Amen. That is the beauty of it all. After the humiliation, there is exaltation. After you have suffered many things in this world, persecution of various types and grades, there is going to be a time of reward. Amen. And all of us, we're looking forward to that day when the Lord will examine our works and give us our due reward. The crown of life is awaiting every one of us that have believed. And the Bible says in Revelation 3:11, saying to the Philadelphia church, you see, make sure nobody takes your crown. Amen. It is possible that one gives one's life to Jesus, and midway, the person, for several reasons, for the reason of persecution, reason of pleasures of this world, pressures from friends and all that, some back out. Some fall by the wayside, but that's not our portion in Jesus' name. So with that understanding, that after suffering, there is exaltation, Apostle Paul now admonished the Philippians, and we hear today that we should guide our salvation with fear and trembling. Walk it out with fear and trembling. There might be need to define some words here, because some people say, you talk about walking out our salvation when God has already done it. What are you going to do? We are saved by grace and through faith. How come works? Well, that's why we are here, and that's why the Lord will enlighten us today further, that there's a responsibility that we have. After we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the responsibility to maintain what God has given us, lest we miss the mark, lest somebody falls by the wayside. Now, why is it necessary for us to take it to ourselves? It is possible that after somebody has given his or her life to Jesus, the tempter will come and say, let's watch him. He says he's giving his life to Christ. Is he for real? Let's watch him. After 3 days, we back out. After 7 days, we fall away. There are people actually, and possibly you are one of such people, who when God delivered you, people will say, is he for real? Is he for real? Let's watch him. Let's watch her. But here you are standing by his grace. Amen. Yes, so there is something that you have done, and that's what I want to remind everybody, that we need to maintain our salvation. It's just like somebody has built a house, and you find that houses have the wear and the tear. It's just like cars too. They have wear and tear. Now when they depreciate, except you maintain them, the houses or cars can fall apart, break down. Our salvation need to be guided jealously, because God paid with his own blood our salvation. Don't take it cheaply. Even though salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Somebody paid for it. Amen. Yeah. So some people can fall back due to backsliding. And why do people backslide? In the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, we are told that some seed fell by the wayside. Some seed fell upon the thorns. And some fell upon the good soil. We want to be those that will receive the word of God on fertile ground, and the word of God will bring forth hundredfold in our lives in Jesus' name. The reason why some sprang up, they were very happy when they got saved. They were very happy and jubilating. But alas, they just went out, and a friend said, why are you excited? He said, I'm saved. Oh, you are saved. And they laughed about it. He said, it doesn't really matter. You know, you come back to us. You come back to us. And some, unfortunately, actually go back to Egypt. But it shouldn't be so with us in Jesus' name. We should hold on and guard our salvation jealously. Remember that Jesus chose certain disciples, and among them he chose apostles to walk with him, they minister with him. We know about Peter. Apostle Peter, for example, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. True or false? He denied the Lord. But God had mercy upon him. He didn't go back. He didn't remain in Egypt. Amen. Meaning that somebody who was right with God, who walked with God, who wrought signs and wonders with the Lord Jesus Christ, so he could deny Christ. It's a possibility. But thank God he came back. Amen. There was the case of the prodigal child in Luke chapter 15. We told that this man, he went away from the father and he squandered his wealth. He squandered all that the father had given him. At last, he was in want. He lacked even food, as basic as food is. He didn't have food to eat. But one day he came to himself. Amen. One day he realized, am I the one here? When my father is so rich, he has house servants, house maids and all, and I can't even feed anymore. He came to himself. I'm praying that if there's anybody who has the mind of backsliding, the person will come to himself or herself today and come back to the Father. The Father is very loving. He will welcome you back. He welcomed Peter back, and he will welcome you back in Jesus' name. Don't fall by the wayside, because this road we are traveling is a narrow road, and only very few succeed to pass through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he watches over us. Amen. There was another person who started very well with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ in ministry. His name is Judas Iscariot. You know him. This man he partook in the ministry when Jesus Christ sent for the 70, sent them for to go and minister. He was one of them. And they performed signs and wonders. And the Lord said, look, oh, you are rejoicing because you saw signs and wonders. But happier are ye when you realize that your names are in the book of life. Amen. This guy was among them. But something happened. A temptation came to him. What happened is that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He betrayed our master. Sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But unlike Peter, he never came back. Rather, he committed suicide. Somebody who started very well, just about 3 years, 3.5 years ago, he started very well, and look at what has come to him. The possibility of missing the mark is there even after we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essence of this message. We also know about some disciples. A particular couple called Ananias and Sapphira. Familiar story in the book of Acts. At that time, they were living a communal life. Some had properties, and they sold the properties, brought the money to the feet of the apostles so that they'll be sharing, so that nobody will lack. That was the objective. Several of them had done that. But when it came to this man, Ananias and Sapphira, they had a game plan. We too, we are going to sell our land. And we are going to bring it to the apostles' feet for common distribution so that everybody will not, nobody will be left out. We will all be taken care of. But they had a game plan and said that, look, but we are not going to give the whole money to the church or to the apostles. But when they ask us, they say, is this what you really suffer? Say, yes. Sapphira, agree? Yeah, we agree. That's what they did. In their bed chamber. Nobody knew. Nobody saw them.
and they came to the church and brought the proceeds of their land. Say, yes, here we are. We sold our land and here is the money. Holy Spirit spoke. Is this truly the money, the total money you sold, and you are bringing it to God? Say, yes. Just that word, yes, made a whole difference. Because he lied against the Holy Ghost, he was struck dead. This is New Testament. A believer. Fellowship, you are not just an ordinary believer. He was kind-hearted. In fact, there was nobody who was out to bring money out of compulsion. But on their own volition, seeing that people were in need, they sold properties and brought the proceeds. But the lie, that lying aspect, made Ananias to miss the mark. And because the wife had agreed, even though she was not there immediately, you know, and when she came back later, and they asked, is this the amount you people really sold the land? She said, yes, because they had agreed, they had planned. Yes. I said, look, those who went to bury your husband, they're just leaving. She fell down. Nobody, they didn't shoot gun. Holy Ghost visited, divine visitation. After that, there was great fear in the church of God. Amen. Yes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though he forbears with people so long. Because people do a lot of things. They disobey the Lord. They commit violent crimes in the name of the Lord today. And they are living. You know, but some of them, when the time of judgment comes, you'll be surprised. So in case of Ananias and Sapphira, they died and never made it to the promised land. Amen? Some people, they apostatize. That is, they deviate from the true gospel, the true message of salvation that we have all received. Some people deviate from it. And because of that, at the end, they are not going to receive the crown of life because they missed the mark midway. There's also the case of a man called Demas. Demas was a co-minister with Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, we read that. I want us to read it. Let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10, something happened. This man was a missionary. He went out with Apostle Paul, and they were ministering the word of God. But something happened, and this man fell by the wayside. What happened? Have you read it? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Who can tell me boldly and loudly what happened to him? You not reading your Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Let somebody read it. Read it. I'm not going to read this one. You read it yourself. Having loved this present world, that was the reason he fell by the wayside. He couldn't continue anymore. The possibility of some people who are believing today to leave the faith, deviate like Demas, is there. And that is why this message is coming out. Amen. We shall not be among them that fall by the wayside in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 11, 1 to 12, there's a whole passage about the Israelites. After God had delivered them, they had cried to God in their captivity, in their suffering, and God heard them and sent a deliverer in the person of Moses. Moses came out and he actually led them out to where the promised land, but not all of them made it to the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. Why? Because of rebellion. Even though there were great testimonies, there were great signs and wonders. They passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground to the promised land. The army, the forces of Pharaoh, they were perished in the sea. These were divine interventions. When they didn't have food, God provided quails. When they didn't have water, God asked Moses, "You just speak to the rock and water came out." The second time, however, when God said, no, the first time God said he should strike the rock, water came out and the people drank. There was another time again, they were thirsty and they soon forgot what God did for them. They were grumbling. We are not supposed to grumble or worry, but to ask God, to pray, to make request, to make petition to God when we have any need, but not to grumble. The Israelites were fond of grumbling, and they grumbled again, "Oh, no water. Moses, did you just take us out of that land? We would be enjoying cucumber and garlic and all those nice things, but here we are. We don't have water. Come on, water." Then God said, "Okay, just go and speak to the rock, and water will come out." Remember the first time God said, "Go strike the rock." He did. And water came out. But this time, God said, "Speak." He didn't say, "Strike." Moses himself missed out because he did not magnify the name of the Lord. Instead of speaking to the rock, this time around, he was so much enraged. I was annoyed. I called the poor rebels. And he struck the rock thrice. Because of that, God's name was not glorified. And because of that, he could not make it literally to the promised land, even though he led them out of Egypt. Can you see? Multitude perish in the wilderness because of unbelief, because of grumbling and outright sin, despite the signs and wonders that followed the ministry. And in verse 12 of that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are then giving a warning. Because these things happen for examples unto us, so that we will not be like them. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take it, lest he fall." Can you see there? Yes, after all that had happened to the Israelites, after the miraculous divine intervention, they fell by the wayside. They dishonored God, and many perished. Actually, it's only Joshua and Caleb of the old stock, so to say, with the children that were born in the wilderness. They were the ones that made it to the promised land. All the others, they perished. For one thing or the other. Signs and wonder is not enough. But to fear God and to obey him. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 5, there is a solemn warning to us believers. We that believe. Don't take the grace of God for granted at all. Hebrews chapter 6, 4 to 5. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it and bringeth forth else meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God." The important thing there to know is that there are some people who fall away by the wayside, even though they had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, even though they had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, even though they partook of the riches of heavenly glory, signs and wonders follow their ministry, fell by the wayside. And Jesus Christ warned us too that we should not base everything on signs and wonders. And said that there are some people who will come the last day and say, Lord, we have worked miracles. We have performed signs and wonders. And the Lord said, I do not know you. So we need to take heed to ourselves. Amen. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why do we need to walk out? That walking out, what exactly does it mean? It means we need to cooperate with the Spirit of God. It means we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit has been giving us for guardians. In fact, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our life is that he's our helper. But if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to help you, will he help you? No. So there's a responsibility on our part to cooperate with the Holy Spirit leading in our lives. Holy Spirit is very willing to direct us, to lead us, to guide us. But are you willing? Am I willing? That's the issue. He is our helper. He is our standby. But we have to be ready to listen to him. Amen. If we do that, we'll never fall by the wayside. If a Christian falls into sin, if it happens that the Christian falls into sin, the Christian will not be happy. So what do we need to do? We repent immediately and ask God for mercy and forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We should walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. This fear and trembling does not mean that you quake literally. The fear here does not mean torment, the one that brings torment. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God makes us to depart from evil. Amen? The fear of God makes us to reverence God. In that way, it is called reverential fear. It is not the fear that brings torment. Some people fear heights. Some people, they fear darkness. They fear creatures that God has made. But that's not the kind of fear we're talking about. Fear of God makes people to depart from evil. Remember one man in the Old Testament who feared God? And he did not commit sin, Joseph. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And he said, how can I do this against my God? How can I commit this sin for adultery with Potiphar's wife? The man that trusted me with everything, the authority and care of the whole household. And now, a temptation is coming for me to fall. No, I will not yield. My brothers, my sister, when sinners entice thee, may God give you grace to say no in Jesus' name. Yes. Proverbs 1 verse 10 say, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do not consent. Peer pressure. People talk about peer pressure. I grew up, I was once a youth. Peer pressure, yes. But you see, I personally believe that if you are a child of God, you should have positive peer pressure on your mates and colleagues. Amen. And not the reverse. God has called us to be unique. God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to represent him. We are to be lights. We are the salt of the earth. And so it's not to compromise because peer pressure. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You mount a positive peer pressure on your colleagues. Tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them about the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And don't allow them to rubbish your life. Amen. Yes. So the fear of God makes us to hate evil. It's not a slavish fear. It is the desire not to offend God, who has done so much for us, such that he went to the cross and died for us. He loved us so much. If you love your parents so much, you wouldn't want to offend them. If you love your daddy so much, you wouldn't want to offend your daddy. Not because daddy may use a whip on you. No. But no, my daddy loves me so much. He provides for me anything I need. He provides for me. Oh, I can't afford to offend my daddy. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Reverential fear. You love God to the extent that you wouldn't want to offend God. That's the fear that is talked about here. Amen. It emanates from our deep love and respect for God. Fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Remember that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. In John chapter 15, verse 5, tells us, without me, you can do nothing. So we need to rely on him all the time. If we rely on our flesh, on our own strength, our flesh will fail us woefully. Think about Peter. Peter said, you are thinking about people forsaking you. Not me, me. I'm Peter, rock. Even if others, they forsake me, I not go forsake you, Jesus. That's flesh talking. The arm of flesh will fail us. Let's rely on the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we found that he was even the one that denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But the beautiful thing is that he repented. Amen. He came back to God. And today, you know, it's in glory. Apostle Paul showed us exactly how to go about this when he said, know ye not that they which run the race run, but not all receive the prize? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. What did he say? Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. There's something beautiful we need to learn from Apostle Paul there. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. We are running a race. In case you don't know, we have not yet arrived. We have not yet made it to the end of the race. If you give your life to Christ today, you are just 30. You just 30. Some of us started maybe 45 years ago, 40 years ago, even 50 or more. Yeah, we are still running the race. Amen? Yes, and we should run the race according to the rules. There are rules and regulations. Some years ago, there was a man called Ben Johnson. You know, he sprinted very fast and he won a prize. But they found that he used some substances that enhanced his energy and all that. Because of that, he was disqualified later. So there are rules and regulations. They are out there in the Word of God. So you should run the race according to the rules so that you not miss the mark, so that you have a glorious well done from our Lord and Savior at the very end in Jesus' name. Yes, verse 27. This is what he normally did to maintain his salvation. But I keep, that is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That was Apostle Paul taking care of himself. How did he do that? Just before the sermon began in the morning, we talked about fasting. It's one of the ways to subdue this flesh. When you exhibit so much fleshly character and all that, you know, you need to subdue the flesh. Humble your flesh so that the Holy Spirit will have his way. Because there's a continual warfare between the flesh and the Spirit of God in our life. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't allow the flesh to overrule your life in Jesus' name. When you take it yourself like that and run the race, taking heed, the Lord will help you and you run the race successfully to the very end. Actually, running this race, God has made provision. In that same Philippians, we are told in 2 verse 13 that the power to live this life, the power to live holy life, the power to obey God is from the Holy Spirit. It's not by ourselves. God helps us even to serve him. In fact, let's read it from
Somebody has put it in a particular way. Philippians 2 verse 13. For God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him, and then helping you do what he wants. Think about that. Can read in King James? Say the Spirit helps us. It is Spirit that helps us. No, to obey God is the Spirit that helps us. In the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in us, you know, they had laws, they had regulations, but it was difficult for them to obey. But God promised in Ezekiel that he will give us a new heart. Amen. And then a new spirit. That's exactly what is happening here, that God has given us a new heart and a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, to help us. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. What that means in other words is that God gives us the desire to clean up, to live right, and the power to do the cleanup. Praise the Lord. This is a man of God who paraphrases. He said, look, God gives us the desire to clean up. That desire in the first place, to live a holy life, he gives us desire to clean up and the power to clean up. So it's not by ourselves, but we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. He will lead us to a successful end in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ depended on the Holy Spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, Jesus Christ was praying, Father, if it's possible that this cup would pass by me, very well and good, because I can see the suffering ahead. It's going to be too much. It's going to be too much. He groaned and cried in the Garden of Gethsemane. What happened? He had a desire to please the Father. What happened? The Holy Spirit came and strengthened him. Amen. May the Holy Spirit strengthen you at the hour of your need in the name of Jesus. When you are pressed to the wall, you don't know what to do, may the Holy Spirit help you out in Jesus' name. When you are confused, don't know which step to go, may the Holy Spirit lead you in Jesus' name. When you are in danger and the forces of darkness, they seem arrayed against you, may the Holy Spirit help you in Jesus' name. Remember, the Lord knows about today, and he knows about everything we need to do. And yet, he said, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we should shine as lights. It is possible, my brothers, my sisters, by the power of the Holy Spirit, rely, depend. God did not create us to be robots, but he has given us free will. We have free moral, we have free will to take decisions, to obey God or say no. Let's say yes to Jesus all the time. Amen. And no to the devil. And the devil will be put to shame in Jesus' name. Want to round up with a song that says, what shall separate us from the love of God? What shall derail me? What shall derail you? It depends on you. Some people, persecution will. But we know about one lady, Leah, in Nigeria right now. The whole Christian world, they are praying for her release. Though there were rumors lately that she had been released, but it's said not to be true. May Lord deliver that lady in the name of Jesus. She will come out and be a living testimony of what it means to serve God and to fear God. Even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, you will shine as lights in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans 8:35. If you know it, can sing along with me. What shall separate me from the love of God? Thing that commonly separate people and make them to derail. What who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Who shall separate me from the love of God? What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Is it trial? Oh no, oh no, oh no. Tribulation? Oh no, oh no, oh no. Persecution? Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. What can separate me from the love of God? May the Lord give every one of us grace to hold on to God's unchanging hand. He loves us dearly. He wants us to finish strong. His thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, never of evil, that you come to an expected end. Don't disappoint God, brothers. Cooperate with the Holy Ghost and will lead you to right finishing. You will finish strong and receive the crown of life in Jesus' name. Is there anybody here? You have not known God. You are not very sure of your salvation. Please bow down your head and surrender all to Jesus. If you see what Paul passed through in course of his missionary journeys, you wonder, can a human being undergo this? Yes, he did. In Paris often, in strife among brethren and those without, in fastings often, in distresses, in shipwrecks, in all this, he finished strong and said, I have finished the race. I have run the race. And now it's laid for me a crown of life. Not only for me, but for all those who will hold on to God's unchanging hand and be rewarded. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, my brothers, my sisters who heard this word of God. We should walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. We shouldn't take our salvation for granted. Because the enemy wants to snap us away from you. But we will not allow. We will not allow him in the name of Jesus. We shall more be among them that make it to the rapture. Give us grace, O Lord, to hold on to your unchanging hand until the trumpet sound in Jesus' name. God bless your house.